भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11th, Chapter 12, entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Text 24. Evam Guru Upasanaika Bhaktya विद्या कुठारेन शितेन धीरा विव्रश्य जीवाशयम् अप्रमत्ता संपत्य चात्मानम् अथ तजस्रम् एवं गुरूपासनैकभक्त्या विद्या कुठारेण शितेन धीरा विवृश्य जीवाशयम् अप्रमत्ता संपद्य चात्मानम् अथ तजस्रम् एवं गुरूपासनैकभक्त्या विद्या कुठारेण शितेन धीरा विवृश्य जीवाशयम् अप्रमत्ता संपद्य चात्मानम् अथ तजस्रम् Mataji's word to word. Evam, thus, with the knowledge I have given you, Guru of the spiritual master, Upasanaya, developed by worship, Eka, unalloyed, Bhaktya, by loving devotional service, Vidya of knowledge, Kuthena, Kutharena, sorry, by the X, Shitena, sharp, Dhira, one who is steady by knowledge, Vivrishya, cutting down, Jiva of the living entity, Ashayam, the subtle body, filled with the designations created by the three modes of material nature. Apramatta, being very careful in a spiritual life. Sampadya, achieving. Cha, and Atmanam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atha, then. Teja, you should give up. Asram, the means by which you achieved perfection. Translation purport by disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. With steady intelligence, you should develop unalloyed devotional service by careful worship of the spiritual master, and with the sharpened axe of transcendental knowledge, you should cut off the subtle material covering of the soul. Upon realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should then give up that axe of analytical knowledge. Purport. Because Uddhava had achieved the perfection of personal association with Lord Krishna, there was no need for him to maintain the mentality of a conditioned soul. And thus, as described here by the word Sampadya Cha Atmanam, Uddhava could personally serve the lotus feet of Lord in the spiritual world. Indeed, Uddhava requested this opportunity at the beginning of this great conversation. As stated here, Guru Upasanaika Bhaktya. One can achieve pure devotional service by worshipping a bona fide spiritual master. It is not recommended here that one give up pure devotional service for one's spiritual master or one's spiritual master. Rather, it is clearly stated by the word Vidya Kutharena that one should cultivate knowledge of the material world as described by the Lord Krishna in this chapter. One should fully understand that each and every aspect of material creation is the expansion of the illusory potency of the Lord. Such a knowledge works as a sharpened axe to cut down the roots of material existence. In this way, even the stubborn, subtle body created by the three modes of material nature is cut to pieces and one becomes apramatta or sane or cautious in Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna has clearly explained in this chapter that cowherd damsels of Vrindavan were not interested in an analytical approach to life. They simply loved Lord Krishna and could not think of anything else. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that all these devotees should follow in the footsteps of the cowherd damsels of Vraja in order to develop the highest intensity of selfless love of Godhead. Lord Krishna has elaborately analyzed the nature of the material world so that the conditioned souls who are trying to enjoy it can cut down the tree of material existence with this knowledge. The word Sampadya Cha Atmanam indicate that the person with such a knowledge has no further material existence because he has already achieved the personality of Godhead. Such a person should not loiter in the kingdom of Maya, perpetually refining his understanding of illusory creation. One who has accepted Lord Krishna as everything may enjoy eternal bliss in Lord's service. Yet, even though he remained in this world, he has no more business with it and gave up the analytical procedure for negating it. Lord Krishna therefore tells Uddhava, Tajastram, give up the acts of analytical knowledge by which you have cut down your sense of proprietorship and residence in this material world. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshununmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamcha హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోసుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత కథాధర్ శివాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. Before starting, I beg for the mercy of all the assembled devotees here so that we can discuss something from Srimad Bhagavatam and on the auspicious day of Vaman Dev Dwadashi. So, just the previous verse, it talks about the material existence in the form of a tree. So, the similar analogy is given in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15. And it starts with Urdhva Mulamada Shaka Ashwattam Prahur Avyam. So, there is a Lord Krishna talks about that material existence is like a banyan tree. Right? And he says Ashwattha. Ashwattha is a banyan tree. And it also says it is Avyam. Avyam means literal meaning is eternal or imperishable. But as we learn that material world is always called as it is a temporary. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a very wonderful explanation for the word Ashwattha. He says, Shva means tomorrow. Ashva means not tomorrow. And Stha means to stay. But here, the Stha becomes Tha when it combines with the Ashwattha. So, Shva is tomorrow. Ashva means not tomorrow. And Stha, which is becomes Tha, Ashwattha. So, it says, it is not going to stay. Tomorrow, it is not going to stay. So, so this material existence, he says, that is not going to stay tomorrow. That is the Ashwattha. This material existence is not going to stay tomorrow. So it is in a temporary nature. So for Vishwanath Chakravarti says, for devotees also and for non-devotees also, it is a temporary. For devotee, yes, it won't exist for tomorrow because they will become liberated tomorrow and they will attain the spiritual world. Right? So that's why it is temporary for them, this material existence. Even for the non-devotees, he says, the tree won't exist for tomorrow for even non-devotees. Why? Because everything they are attached to is going to cease to exist. It ceases to exist. And that's why it is temporary in nature. So even this Ashwattha tree, material existence, is not an eternal. This attachment to this matter, right? Because the matter is going to cease, so it is not eternal. But the word avyam here means the material existence, the matter, although it may be manifested or unmanifested, but it is going to remain, and that's why it is a eternal, avyam. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti clarifies these things. So, previous verse in this chapter, it says that the it talks about there are hundreds of desires. This tree has hundreds of roots. So, that is nothing but even the in the 15th chapter, the same thing explained that the desire is the root cause of this material existence. If you have to get rid of this tree, then one has to know this tree thoroughly and through this analytical study of this matter, of this material world. And then we can easily cut off its relationship with it. And that's what this verse also talks about. That we should cut off using this weapon of analytical study. Right? like it's like, you know, material existence is like, you know, you cannot resolve it. Like when you have a knot in the hair, when you tie a shikha to your hairs, right? And when you open it, it sometimes gets so much tangled, right? You can't resolve it, right? So knots are like that. You can't resolve it. It need to be cut off. Same way, the material existence is like that. You can't resolve it. You need to, at a certain point, you have to cut off. That was explained in this verse also. That we need to cut off by the weapon of analytical study. And there in a Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna, Lord Krishna talks about the same things. Asanga shastrena drudena chitva. Asanga shastrena. By weapon of detachment, you have to cut down. Right? So, he says, after knowing, by analytical study, you understand how complicated this material world is. And this knowledge develops a detachment, and which will help us to cut off from the material existence which is binding us. But we should not forget, in the last wordings, is Lord says that you should not forget that ultimately we have to remember our goal is Krishna. Our goal is neither analytical study, our goal is not neither detachment. We should use these acts of detachment to cut off the anti-devotional desires, right? Which is causing us the entanglement. And we should develop loving service to Krishna. And that's a progressive way. So many times the gyanis, they caught up into the analytical study so much that they forget the goal. They think that the analytical study is the only goal, right? They think that the God is a tool and analytical study is just a goal. Rather, we should use this axe and weapon and then you should disentangle and attain the Lord. So God is not a tool, but the attainment is the object of our surrender. And that's why in the translation it says, upon realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should give up that acts of analytical knowledge. That's what the translation also talks about. In the second para of the purport, it is also mentioned that we should following of a Vraj Bhakti. So it says, from the purport it says, Lord Krishna has clearly explained in this chapter that the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan were not interested in an analytical approach to life. They simply loved Lord Krishna and could not think of anything else. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's why he taught Gopi Bhartaru Padakamalayor Das Dasana Das. We have to follow the footsteps of these gopis, the dear devotees of the Lord. So we know gopis were the most surrendered devotees of the Lord, right? So surrender is our goal. We should not forget that. And this is very much depicted in the 8th canto in the episode of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev, as being today's Vamandev Dwadashi. So we'll discuss something from the Bali Maharaj's episode also. So 8th canto, most of the chapters of 8th canto, it talks about Bali Maharaj. So we'll just go through quickly what are the past tense. We'll not go in the detail of that past tense. We'll just go quickly into the what happened. So the demons, along with the led by Bali Maharaj, they attacked Indra, heavens, and Indra has to flee. Why Indra has to flee? Because he had offended Durvasa Muni. That's why he lost his all power. And he has to flee. So demigod then approached to the Lord, and then Lord advised them to make a truce and do the churning of the milk ocean. So Indra comes for this peace agreement that let's make a truce. So demons were trying to arrest him, but Bali Maharaj stopped him. So then the churning of milk ocean happens, and the nectar comes out, and it is gained by demigods. And then there is a fight happens, and the demigod lose. And in that fight, actually Bali Maharaj was killed by the demigods led by Lord himself. So then Bali Maharaj was revived by Shukracharya, his guru. Then Bali Maharaj assembles all the demons, and they do lot of sacrifice. They worship Brahmanas and they carry out the sacrifices as advised by Shukracharya. And they carry out the yagya known as Vishwajit Yagya. to conquer the whole world. And then they attack Amravati. Now this time, effulgence of Bali Maharaj, seeing the effulgence of Bali Maharaj, Indra become very afraid, because Bali Maharaj has acquired the power by worshipping Brahmanas, by following spiritual master. So, on one side, this is Bali Maharaj, who offered so much respect to Brahmana and spiritual master, and on the other side, Indra, who offended his spiritual master. So, Indra has to flee again, and it was gained by Bali Maharaj and the demons. Heaven was gained by Bali Maharaj and demons. So that time, Aditi, son of all the demigods, she performed the Payavrata sacrifice. And then Lord, as per the advice of husband Kashyap Muni. And then the Lord Vishnu comes and he says, then Aditi says, please regain the sovereignty of my sons. So Lord earlier had like took a lead role to fight the battle against the Lord. But this time Lord Vishnu says, no, I can't fight. I can't do much. Because why? Because the demons have worshipped Brahmanas, they have become powerful. Right? So the blessings of Brahmana or spiritual masters is so much that the Lord also has to think about it, right? So that's why Lord is said about, because the Lord himself is Namo Brahmane Devaya. Right? So but he says, okay, my worship will not go in vain, because you worship me in a prayavat sacrifice. I will appear you as a son. And that's how we know that Vamandev appeared to Mother Aditi. So when the Lord appears, he's with a beautiful form and all the then all the devotees offer different gifts. But soon after the Lord's appearance, Lord goes on the mission where Bali Maharaj is performing the sacrifice. He soon goes there and we know the whole story. And then he begs for the charity from Bali Maharaj. So he begs for the charity of 3 steps. And Bali Maharaj is surprised. I can give anything what you want. You ask for the land, you ask for the cows, you ask for some, any other coins, gold coins, so whatsoever. I will give you anything what you ask. But why are you asking just 3 coins? Right? So so that time, Shukracharya comes to know that who this Brahmana boy is in the disguise of Lord himself, who has come to take away everything from the Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was advised by his advisors, the elderly were like a Shukracharya Guru, and the other was Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj had earlier warned Bali Maharaj, when Vamadev appeared to Mother Aditi, that time he only warned that soon the Lord will come and will take away heavens from you and hand it over to the demigods. This advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj in a tone that to surrender to the Lord. Don't carry out your proprietorship. Don't carry out your controllership. Whereas Shukracharya, seeing this instance, he said that he had his own interest. And that's why he said, he differed from that ultimate dharma of surrendering to the Lord or pleasing to the Lord. Rather, he has his own interest that if Bali Maharaj gives everything to the Lord, what I will have in a dakshina? How will I survive? So that's why Bali should not give. And that's why he was advising Bali Maharaj not to give anything to the Lord, Vamandev. Now understand here, what the Bali Maharaj was going through. Bali Maharaj was alive because of whom? He was revived because of whom? Shukracharya. Right? He was alive because of Shukracharya. He gained the sovereignty of heavens, all the opulences, by what? Worshipping Shukracharya. Right? So, at this point, he was in very much in a dilemma what he should be doing. But that said, that we should be independently thoughtful. Prabhupada always said that we should be independently thoughtful.
So although Shukracharya was forcing Bali Maharaj not to give, but Bali Maharaj was independently thoughtful. He rejected Shukracharya's advice. He said that the purpose of following this ritualistic ceremony or the following dharma is to follow the ultimately the supreme dharma, to please the Lord. This yajna is meant for the yajna purush, for his satisfaction. And when he comes for asking for something, I should be giving him, right? So there's the verse. It says, Nehyat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate. So anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to the religious life, right? Nehyat karma dharmaya. If that work, karma, is not to elevate him to the religious life, and that vairagya kalpate, from that religious ritualistic ceremonies, what should happen? It should generate the detachment. it should rise to the renunciation, right? And that renunciation should lead to na teertha pada sevaya. So it should generate to the, from that detachment, one what should be doing is, it should be surrendering to the lotus feet of Lord. If somebody who doesn't, his work doesn't lead to the religious life, and that religious life doesn't lead to the renunciation and ultimately to the Lord's lotus feet, then what is he? He says, Jivan api mruto hi sa. Although he is breathing, but he is as good as dead. That's what the third canto talks about. So, Bali Maharaj, knowing this, he ultimately followed the advice, the ultimate dharma. So, three steps were begged by Vamandev, and Bali Maharaj grants that. So, as soon as he grants, Lord Vamandev, we know that he covers, in the two steps, he covers the whole entire universe, what has been gained by Bali Maharaj. And the third step is, what to do with the third steps? Then Bali Maharaj offers himself, right? And we know, that's why Bali Maharaj is known for the example for the Atma Nivedanam, surrendering everything. So, so Bali Maharaj sacrificed the best of the worlds, what he had, for the world beyond it. Right? What are the opulences he had? He gave up everything. For what? To prepare for the life beyond this world. So he got a power by Brahmana worship. He got an opulence by Shukracharya. His life was revived by Shukracharya, but he gave up the advice of same Shukracharya. Now, how do we understand this? Is even Kamsa, he was so much closer to Devaki. He was so joyful when the Devaki was getting married to Vasudev. Rather, he was serving such a menially to Devaki that he became chariot driver. That's like a very menial position. He became a chariot driver and he was driving Devaki and Nandadev, Vasudev. So, while he was driving, we know, as soon as that that he was understood that the Devaki's eighth garbha will be the cause of his death, as soon as his personal interest came into picture, he forgot all his relationship. As soon as the sense gratification the sense gratification is held upon, right? He was like, forgot all his relationship. So, it is advised that those people who are so much self-centered about their own sense gratification, right, of their own interests, they cannot be trusted. Right? And that's why Bali Maharaj rejected, but he didn't reject Shukracharya. He respected him still, but he rejected that advice. So it looks like Bali Maharaj was wanting the in the previous life, if you understand the previous life of Bali Maharaj, he was wanting of the opulences, power. Then how did he give up everything? And how did he become surrender? So Acharya explains, this came about because he had a connection with Prahlad Maharaj. It was advised by Prahlad Maharaj, right? So seed was given by Prahlad Maharaj, and that seed blossomed when Bali Maharaj saw, at the first instance, Lord Vamandev. That seed became blossomed. Right? So, It's like Bali Maha, so that's why the association or connection to the some pure devotee saves us from the such a greatest stranger. So also we understand how so if you see what the taste Bali Maharaj has to go through, you know, even the Pandavas has to go through very a tough task. They also were snatched away all their kingdom. But Bali Maharaj, compared to the Pandavas, he was into greater predicament. How? Here, you know, who was snatching away all his wealth, all his opulences, was not any enemy, right? But the Lord himself is taking away all things from him, right? So Pandavas at least had some, had family members to support, right? All of them were together, right? All the five Pandavas were all, at least they were together, right? But Bali Maharaj was captured. He was abandoned by all the family members, relatives, right? That was the greater predicament of Bali Maharaj. So not only that, it was taken away, all the three steps and all the opulences were taken away from Bali Maharaj, but he was arrested also. So he was arrested by Varuna Pash, by Garuda, Garuda's Varuna Pash, he was arrested. So now understand, he has offered everything to the Lord. But still Lord was not satisfied. He arrested him with the Varuna Pash, right? So Brahmaji recalls that Brahmaji says, Lord, you are pleased by simplest offerings, right? And then, as like Lord Krishna himself says that, you know, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayashati, right? When somebody offer me these things, right, with a devotion, they are very simple things. I accept it, right? I'm satisfied with just these small things, right? So, Pushpam, example like a Pushpam, was offered by Gajendra when he was in tested, right? With the prayers, he offered this Pushpam to the Lord, and Lord liberated him, right? So, with just one small Pushpam, right? Then Patram, Rukmini offered a tulsi leaf to balance, right? In that balance, there was no amount of gold could have been equivalent to that balance. But she just offered her on tulsi leaf and the Lord was satisfied with it. Right. Sudama offered chipped rice. Those chipped rice was broken chipped rice. It was not a proper chipped rice. It was a broken chipped rice. But Lord was still satisfied. Right? But why the Lord was putting such a greater test to Bali Maharaj? Even he gave the so much, but still Lord was not satisfied. Any such instance where Lord was not satisfied? Yes. So there comes an instance of Duryodhana when he calls Lord for lunch. Right? Lord doesn't accept the invitations. When somebody go for anybody's house for prasad, is when he's hungry or when there is a affection between these two parties, right? Then somebody accept that invitation. But in that case of Duryodhana's invitation, there was none of it. It was not that the Lord was hungry, he self satisfied. And there was no loving reciprocation between this. So rather, Lord chose to go to the Vidura's house, right? So in Vidura's house, he didn't take care of whatever the chappan bhog which Duryodhana has to offer. But he just was very happy with the Vidura, the wife of Vidura, what she was giving. She actually, in that ecstasy of seeing the Lord, she said that she was throwing away the banana and feeding the pills, banana pills, to the Lord. And Lord accepted that. So Lord was satisfied even this simplest offering. Right? So he says, even that song says, Duryodhan ka bhogana khayo, rukho saak vidur ghar khayo. Aise prema pujari rate sham sham sham. Right? So Lord is not wanting of anything. He is a prema pujari. He sees the love, the reciprocation. So Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, he talks about when, when a small child, for a small child, everything is provided by his father. So, but while eating, he offers a small thing to his father and says, my dear father, please have this. It's very tasty. Please have this. And when father hears that, he becomes very pleased. The father knows that what he is giving is actually given by me only. Right? But the father takes a lot of joy when the son offers very small things. So father replies, it is very nice. All right, I shall eat it. Right. And that's how he shows the love. That's how the reciprocation happens. Right. So Prabhupada says, how can you offer love to the Lord? Your love to the Lord, that's through this. Patram pushpam palam toyam. By having exchange, dadati pratigranati. Reciprocation of love happens to the dadati pratigranati. So devotees offers Lord something, and in return, what they get is more and more mercy from the Lord. And the example, like, you know, when you know, to the neighbor's house, you give some sweets packed into some vessel, right? And they return the vessels filled with some other sweets, right? So you give something, and you in return you get another sweets, right? It's the same way. That is a reciprocation of love. It's not just a business exchange. It is not a rule that you should get in back in something written. That becomes a business rule then. Right? But it is a purely reciprocation of love. When when somebody offers with a devotion without any duplicity, Lord accepts it. Right? And when Lord accepts it, the devotee is promoted to the spiritual world. So, when Lord is pleased by this simplest offering, why, after offering everything, the three worlds, and whatever he possessed, Bali Maharaj offered everything. Still, Bali Maharaj was bound by Varuna Pash. He was humiliated. Right? So, what was the severe test that Bali Maharaj has to undergo? So, it says, this verse in the 8th canto, it talks about, I'll read out the translation. It says, although bereft of his riches, fallen from the original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound and although rebuked and cursed by spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with a pretension that I spoke about religious principle, but he did not give up religious principle, for he is true to his word. Now what Bali Maharaj has to go though? He was bereft of all the opulences, all the riches. So somebody thinks, okay, if I'm bereft of all the my opulences, if I lost, I can gain again. He's a king. I can gain again by putting up some taxes or by, you know, leading some war. I will gain again. But for gaining, collecting the taxes or raging a war, you should be in a royal throne. But what was the predicament of Bali Maharaj? He was bereft of his position as a king. Right? So who is more happy to give the position of royal throne? If he's more happy, a king is more happy to give his royal throne when son takes over the charge. So he's very happy to give that royal throne. But here, it was not a son who was taken up the charge. Rather, this royal throne was snatched away from Bali Maharaj. Right? Not only that, he was defeated. If someone is defeated, he still, by his heroic power, he gathers a military and gets back. Right? And but, in case of Bali Maharaj, he was not let free. What was? He was arrested. He was humiliated. From king, he became prisoner. Right? In such a tragic situation, you know, what do we do? What do a person do is he looks forward for some emotional support. Emotional support from whom? From his close relatives. So, in case of Bali Maharaj, he was even deserted by his relatives and friends. There was no one to console him. Right? So, there was no outside support. So, he should try and seek the support from within. Right? But in such a lonely situation, what do the people do? You know, they look for some entertainment, they write down some poetry alone, right? Alone, they do so many shairis and so many other things, right? They do this. But what was his predicament of Bali Maharaj? Bali Maharaj was suffering from the painful situation as he was bound by this Varuna Pash. He could not switch on to any other things, right? So, so okay, in such a situation also, one hopes that there will be a better thing happen in the future. Right? So, he was hoping that destiny can turn anything around 180 degree, right? Destiny can turn the table 180 degree. And that destiny happens by the good blessings of the elderly people, right? But there was no blessings for Bali Maharaj. Rather, his elderly, like Shukracharya, he was cursed by Shukracharya. He was cursed by his spiritual master. So that was a test Bali Maharaj has to undergo. Such a severe test he has to undergo. Even such an odd situations, he was truthful to his vows. And he reasserted his refuge into the Lord. Right? That severe test the Bali Maharaj has to go through, that made him to come into the list of great Mahajanas. He became the example for the Atmanivedan. Right? When Lord puts some severe test, he also, it's not that when the Lord gives a severe test, he also gives the strength to pass that test. He gives the test according to the person's capacity. I don't think that the Lord will put us also in such a severe test, whether we'll pass. No. Lord knows how much we are capable for it. And then that's how he gives a test for us. Lord says, to show my special mercy, he gives his special mercy by first taking away everything, right? And that he shows by the example of Bali Maharaj, right? So, Lord is reaching to all the worlds that, you know, this human form of body is very rare, right? It's rarely obtained. After rotting so many births, we get this human form of life. Even in this human form of life, one belonging to the civilized culture, right? He has a lot many responsibilities, right? So one must be very diligent, very be careful about these things, right? He should utilize this precious gift of human form of life for the ultimate goal, right? Like let's say somebody who slogs very hard and earns good wealth. After gaining that good wealth, he will be very diligent to invest that wealth properly, right? Will not take it to the undue risk. That's how human form of life is a precious gift which we got after spending so many births in this material world. And that's why we should be very diligent in taking care of this precious gift for the ultimate goal. And that's why Lord has shown by this example of Bali Maharaj. So Lord says, my special mercy is there. So Lord says to Bali Maharaj that, what is the special mercy? That you have conquered Maya. That's a special mercy. Vishwaraj Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord didn't say that you will conquer, but Lord says you have conquered Maya. Although you are tested severely, taking everything away from you, you didn't protest. You just accepted, right? And that's how you conquered the Maya. And Lord, then later he gives a Sutala planet, which has the opulence as good as the heavenly planets, right? So, what you have aspired materially, Lord says, what you have aspired materially, that will also be provided, right? Although for devotee, the opulences of the heaven is very insignificant, but because Bali Maharaj had desired it earlier, it was provided to Bali Maharaj. And then Lord says, after you reign for the one mantra, after Indra, you will come back to me. That was the assurance Lord gave. So ahead, Lord gives opulences far greater than the heavenly planets, Sutala planets. And then Lord says, reminds, he says, Janma karma vayoropa vidya aishwarya tanadhibhi yadi asya na bhavestambhas tatrayam mat anugraha. He says, Janma, if a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of a life, he feels very proud, right? So somebody says that, you know, we are having a connection with the Peshwa family, but what he is doing now? He's a clerk, right? So they still take a pride that I have a connection with the Peshwa family. They say, Janma, karma. If one performs some wonderful activities, or expert or skilled, he takes a lot of pride. Right? People take a pride, even if they do just one thing very wonderful, just once, but they take a lot of pride and they again and again tell about that. Right? So, for example, you know, a boy, he becomes a 12th ranker and gets admission in IIT. And what happens? In the first semester, he fails. He becomes a dropper. Right? But still, he takes a lot of pride that I am a ranker in the 12th. Right? So, janma karma, vayo. Vayo is youthful. Right? Everyone looks for the youthful, that enthusiasm, that I can do multitasking. Right? So, capable of doing many things. That is vayo. And also rupa. Right? He is, if somebody is very beautiful and very charismatic, he takes a lot of pride into that. But we know, time humbles us. Right? As one grows, he no more have the same looks powerful. Right? People try to keep themselves youthful, but miserably fail. Example, they pop up some anti-aging medicines, but they die because of their side effects. Right? So the vayo and rupa, you know, even though they may take pride, but that will be snatched away. Vidya, good education. Right? So, I know one person who was a topper in a business school, but he had a good job, he was earning well, right? But what happens, his family life is completely spoiled. Completely spoiled. He was no more, he was almost like abandoned by his family. Right? So what's the use of it? He may have a pride into that, but there's nobody to share that pride. Dhana, good wealth. Somebody who's wealthy, he only attracts more and more cheater. Right? He can rarely make selfless friends. Right? Even though people take pride into that wealth. But they can't. Right? So people take so much of pride in any of these things. Right? Although they fail apart on the other side of the life. In just one of these things, they become very successful. And they take pride into it. But in the other things, they fall apart. But what to speak of a person if he carries all these opulences? There will be no limit of his pride. Right? But Lord says, with all these opulences, if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is specially favored by Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? If someone is with all these opulences and still remains a devotee, that means he is a special mercy of Supreme Lord. That's what the Lord says. So Lord talks about the both ends, taking away everything and giving everything. Right? So he is fully aware, all this. So devotee, he is fully aware, all these opulences are because of the Lord's mercy. Right? Even this body, this body also belongs to the, all these opulences, and not only all these opulences, but this body also belongs to the Lord. If someone lives in such a consciousness, is understand that he is a specially favored, that's a special mercy of the Supreme Lord. So, opulences never disturbs pure devotee. Bali Maharaj won the three worlds, and Lord took away everything to test him. And again, he gave so many opulences, as like a Sutala planets. When it takes away everything, so many things are given, still, Bali Maharaj remained a surrendered soul. Same happens in case of Srila Prabhupada. In his married life, he was tested, like the business was falling apart, family was not cooperative, right? Lord tested him severely. And later, we know, when the ISKCON was, even for establishing ISKCON, he has to struggle a lot. But later we see that the ISKCON spread out so much, right? So then Prabhupada says, Lord has given me so many things in the ISKCON institution, so many things, right? It was spread all over across the globe. So Prabhupada says, Lord tested me by taking away everything initially. And Lord again tested me by giving so many things. So, Lord has His own way to glorify His dear devotees. Bali Maharaj was conquered by Maya, that is the special mercy of the Lord. Even when he was bereft of wealth, Bali Maharaj was not bewildered. Right? So, Prabhupada writes some wonderful lines. in the purport, he says that the Supreme Person of Godhead never takes away material opulence achieved because of devotional service, although he sometimes takes away opulence achieved by pious activities. He does this to make a devotee prideless or put him in a better position in devotional service. So that's what it means, Neha Bikramanashwasi. We should put a add more to our eternal bank account of devotional service. And Prabhupada further writes, if a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life or material opulences to take to the service of Lord, the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus, the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. That was what Prabhupada writes into the purport. So, after Lord gives the Sutala planets to the Bali Maharaj, he says that the don't worry, I will be personally be with you also. You, one may think that, you know, because Bali Maharaj was inimical to the demigods, so Lord may abandon him. But Lord said, no, Lord assured him that I will always be with you. Rather, Lord said that I will be always be there to protect you, Bali Maharaj, from his enemy. Now that becomes like, no, the 180 degree change of situation. Why did Vamandev appeared? For favoring demigods. Right? But now, just see the situation has changed totally 180 degree. That Lord favored Bali Maharaj, not only giving Sutala planets, but he himself became a doorkeeper to the kingdom of Bali Maharaj. Lord favored the demons by killing them and liberating them. Compared to the demigods, on the other hand, Lord awarded sense gratification to the demigods. Right? Demigods were proud of their own situation, that mode of goodness. Right? They were become in that mode of goodness and the heavenly pleasures. They became more deluded and forgot Lord. Right? So whose situation is better? Demigods, for their attachment to the mode of goodness, they didn't get the mercy. But, you know, so that's why it says, you know, good is the worst enemy of the best. Good, the mode of goodness, became the worst enemy to achieve the best. Best is the lotus feet of Lord. Right? So, so now there's a dichotomy of justice or mercy. Right? Just imagine if someone comes to you and asks for a very small thing. Very small things. But by asking small things you give, but actually it takes away everything from you. And at last it tells that you are not given enough. You should be punished for it. You should be arrested for it. How will one feel? You will surely feel what? Injustice is the only word. Injustice is the only word one can talk about. But Bali Maharaj just tolerated everything. He didn't ask for the justice. He just tolerated. Not just tolerated, he accepted. Right? Not just tolerance, but he has an acceptance. Now what's the difference? Justice means is more a function of rationalizing of head. But acceptance means of the heart. He accepted in the heart. Right? Because he accepted, that's why he became qualified for the mercy. Right? Yesterday, Revati Vala Prabhu described that verse. Tattenu kampa sukshimikna mano. So he made everyone recite this verse. That's what it means, you know. Even the severe test, he accepted as a Lord's mercy. He thought that I deserve more than compared to my past deeds. But Lord has just given me a fragment. And that's why he is more qualified for the mercy. This verse was very much personified by Bali Maharaj. And then he surely got the mercy, right? Lord assured him that he will be always present with him. So whatever Lord does is very difficult for us to understand. Why he does it? It's very difficult to understand. But we should understand the principle is Lord has no ulterior motives. Lord is always Thrudam Sarva Bhutanam. He always wants the best for his devotees. Right? How Lord ultimately blessed Bali Maharaj. Right? So therefore we should know the complete story of what happened. Otherwise in between we hear, then we may feel like, you know, Lord was very merciless to Bali Maharaj. But when we hear the complete picture, then we understand. So Bali Maharaj was very grateful and accepted whatever the Lord has to give, right? So Bali Maharaj thought that Bali Maharaj had a fear that if you are sending me to the Sutala planets, I may get contaminated by the association of demons. But Lord says, no, you are my devotees and you will be protected by me always. Rather, you will be elevating everyone by your association. So Bali Maharaj, even though was bound by Varuna Pash for some time, but by his Bhakti Pash, he bound for the entire Manvantara Lord. Varuna Pash bound Lord for Bali Maharaj for some time. But because of his surrender, his Atma Nivedanam, Lord actually was bound for the all the Manvantara. And he becomes like an eternal associate. Even after going back to the spiritual world, he will become this eternal associate. So that's how he attained the eternal association of the Lord. Lord became bound. Lord became the doorkeeper. So that was the magnanimity of the Lord. Right? So Bali Maharaj is such an example. Right? What he was in his past life, what he was did in his past life, that's not of matter. But important thing is that he did Atma Nivedanam, Atma Samarpan. Right? And that's why he was included as a Mahajana. That act of surrender has made him to the list of Mahajanas. So, before I end, I want to, this week we are celebrating the World Holy Name. So, in the same episode, it comes, I can't conclude without mentioning this. So, Lord asked to Shukracharya, when the whole episode happens, Lord asked to Shukracharya, what was the flaw of Bali Maharaj? Why did you curse him? So then he says, Shukracharya says, if one has fully satisfied you, you are Yajna Purush. Where is the chance of discrepancy in the faults or faults in the performance of this sacrifice? Because you are Yajna Purush. And then he quotes a mantra. Mantas tantras chidram desha kalartha vastuta sarvam karoti nishchidram anusangitanam tava. The translation goes, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, tantras, and moreover there may be discrepancies in regard of time, place and person and paraphernalia for carrying out the sacrifices, right? But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. And that's the solution which is given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Kali Yuga. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Kartiraneta. So this week, as we are celebrating the World Holy Name Week, so it is advisable that, you know, we conduct some japathon or we talk about the glories of Holy Name and do more japa and kirtan. So I stop here. Please forgive me for exceeding my time limit. And please forgive me if I have spoken something more beyond my realizations. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.